SBS Dutch. Woensdag en zaterdag om 11 uur 's ochtends. Of online op elk gewenst tijdstip.
Na de oorlog waren er veel Nederlanders die een nieuwe toekomst in Australië wel zagen zitten. En als we die eerste jaren in opvangkampen zoals Bonegilla even terzijde laten en doorschuiven naar nu, dan vinden we kinderen van deze Nederlandse immigranten terug in het openbare leven, op federaal, maar ook op lokaal niveau. Alistair Hanskins is parlementslid voor Ku'ung-Gai in het noorden van Sydney. Ook hij was bij het Koningsfeest en hij vertelde waarom zijn vader besloot naar Australië te gaan.
You have Dutch ancestors.
Yes, my father came to Australia in 1951. Yeah. From Sehetikembos in Noord-Brabant.
Sehetikembos?
Yes. Yeah. So I have two brothers and two sisters. And when I was born, I'm the youngest. My father's colleagues said that they brought people to Australia to populate the country, not overrun it.
And what are you doing?
I only had two children. I've done a much more modest contribution.
Well, let's not talk about the immigrant issues at the moment. Tell me about your father.
My father was 25 when he came to Australia. He's still alive. He's going to be 92 in a couple of weeks. And he was an architect in the Netherlands. He was in the Dutch resistance and studying at university during the war. The Germans invaded the day before his 15th birthday.
How did it affect his studies or his schooling?
It was hard. Yeah. And the Germans used to round up young men of working age to go and be in work camps in Germany and the other occupied territories. So from time to time they would all have to they'd get a tip off that the Germans were rounding people off. And the Germans would come in the front door and they'd all go out the fire escape out the back of the university and then go and hide somewhere. So he was halfway through his degree and then Holland was liberated. And he had a brother who was in the Dutch East Indies Army on the Burma Railway. So he joined the Dutch Marines to try and fight the Japanese and liberate his brother.
Did he come back?
Yes, he did, yes.
That's amazing.
Uncle Jacques,
yeah.
Oma Jacques. So my father actually was doing military training in the United States when the war against Japan finished. And they all got sent to Indonesia to fight to liberate Indonesia.
Was he in the? Were you training in the States with the American Army or training with the Dutch Army?
So when he joined the Dutch Marines, half of Holland was still occupied by the Germans, and so there was no capacity to train anyone. So they went from Holland to Scotland, and then from Scotland they went to North Carolina in America at Camp Lejeune, which is a big Marine base in the United States, and they trained there. They had Dutch sergeants who trained them, but they used the American facilities in North Carolina. So they were a Dutch force.
Yes.
They were the Royal Dutch Marines. He said the drill sergeants used to say, "The Dutch Marines are 300 years old. You have a fine tradition to uphold."
Yeah. Live up to it.
That's right.
Wonderful. So he actually went to East Asia?
Yes. They actually, none of the rest of the world were very happy that Holland wanted to take back their former territory. So they went non-stop on a boat from North Carolina to Malaysia, I think, was their first port of...
So this was 45, 46?
Yeah, 40, 45, 46.
Yeah.
And then, so my father was at Sumatra for a while, and then he got a compassionate discharge after about 8 months because he had six brothers and he was the only brother that they knew was alive at that time. So he got a discharge and then he went to Singapore looking for his brother to see how his brother was. And his brother had already returned to the Netherlands, Uncle Jacques, at that stage. And then he went back to Holland and he finished his university. And I think he'd already been in the New World in America and Australia was trying to get people to immigrate to Australia.
It must have been very sad for his parents that, you know, their son, coming through the wars, actually left again so shortly afterwards.
Mm. And he never saw his parents again after he left.
Oh, no.
Yes.
How come?
Well, just that by the t- he left in 1951, and then they died in the 1960s, I think, and he just he never went back in that time.
Was this on purpose or because money was short?
Just very often money was short. He had a young family, he had five children, you know, and it was a different world then too. Yeah. It wasn't cheap to.
So how do you feel about your Dutch heritage now? Are you obviously here tonight?
Yes,
the 50th
yes.
Birthday party of the Dutch Queen.
Well, I'm 50% Dutch and 50% non-Dutch. So I first went to the Netherlands when I was 18, and met all my surviving uncles and aunts at that time. They've all passed away now, but I met all of them and a whole lot of my cousins. So I've got 21 cousins in the Netherlands. Yeah, and I'm the youngest of the generation, so that was nice, and it was nice to meet all of them and even their children. So my father is the youngest of 8 children, and I'm the youngest of 5 children. So there's almost the children of my eldest cousins are my age.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, there are about 2 or 3 of us all born within about a month of each other.
Yeah.
And I still keep in contact with some of them.
Yeah, yeah. Feel strongly about Australian politics?
Yeah, look, I feel strongly about the importance of protecting democracy and freedom, and you know, a lot of these things that we take for granted. I think in some ways that's part of my Dutch heritage, because my father, you know, grew up in a country that had been invaded by another country, and then Nazi regime was a particularly horrible regime and a bad government to live under. So I think, you know, it's important to take these things seriously.
Talk to us.
Thank you very much.